sometime earlier, so they were up to the minute. So
was the question you
were discussed?
I'm just not going into the subject matter of that meeting.
Larry, has the president turned over control or authority to the vice president?
What was the question?
Has the president turned over control or authority to the vice president? There has been no cause for that to take place.
Well, he was under anesthesia for some time. Can't we assume that the vice president would have to be able to take charge of that case, Larry?
Well, there is, for your information, an automatic assumption of command authority that requires no steps to be taken. It goes first on the vice president and second on the Secretary of Defense.
Doesn't it go to the Speaker after the Vice President?
The question about...
That's wrong.
In fact, it goes to the Secretary of Defense.
Let me get straight with you so you can understand it. There is a succession procedure. That goes from the President to the Vice President to the Speaker to the President pro tempore. There's another one called the command authority, which is an automatic assumption. And that's the only thing that happened at this time.
There were gave
it to you, the Vice President and the Secretary of Defense. It is an automatic assumption.
Larry, when will the Vice President have his working headquarters while the President was in the hospital?
I would assume the Vice President would remain in his office in the West Wing as he operates.
Larry, who is the Commander-in-Chief tonight at this hour?
Well, certainly the President is the Commander-in-Chief. If any actions are required, I'm sure that it would be taken by the appropriate official in the government.
Larry, why did the Vice President wait 6 hours to reassure the country that everything was under control?
The Vice President came directly back to Washington, as I understand it. There was a 30-minute meeting, and then it's been followed by less than an hour after the conclusion of that meeting that the Vice President made the statement. I think we were constantly reassuring the nation through Secretary Haig earlier, and through the statements that we could make here at the time. We were all awaiting the outcome of the surgery, and we were confident throughout it. And the reports, as the Vice President said, have been excellent, and that's assurance enough.
Rather than the Vice President.
Yes.
Larry, what you just said about the succession.
As the Vice President was in the Situation Room, the President's Chief of Staff and the Counselor, Mr. Meese and Mr. Baker, were at the hospital. They were conferring with Secretary Haig. Secretary Haig talked to them and offered to be helpful. He was in charge of the situation in the Situation Room, and that's basically it.
Larry, when you talk about command authority, are you talking about what specifically? Military command? Specifically what?
Yes.
Can you say that the Vice President's
report is
now the acting president?
No. There is no need for that.
The State still maintains
the commander's.
It's automatic.
Wait a minute.
Turner, it is my understanding from the legal people that it's an automatic situation. You aren't letting me finish my answer. It's an automatic situation, and if there's a need to act, there is a capacity to act here. And I don't think it needs any further explanation. You saw the television reports, and that's the latest we
know. Foreign policy, is the State still handling that?
The situation is the same.
We seem to be going over ground covered once, twice, three times now in this briefing by the Deputy Press Secretary, Larry Speaks. We've heard the Vice President, George Bush, say he's heartened by the reports on the condition of President Reagan. Mr. Bush left to go over and speak a word to Mrs. Reagan, who has come back to the White House. Mr. Bush will go off for the evening back to the Vice President's residence. There's been some talk here about who would be in charge in the next few hours if the President were under some sedation, but it looks like it's going to be a moot point very shortly, and we're told that the President should be able to make all necessary decisions by tomorrow. And the prognosis, we've been told by the doctor at George Washington University Hospital for his recovery, the prognosis is excellent. This has been a CBS News special report from the White House. This is Neil Strausser, CBS News.
The time now on WCCO Radio is 23 minutes before 8 o'clock, and we have cloudy skies and a temperature of 46 degrees. You may have heard that we were going to be carrying a baseball preview at 7:30 here on WCCO Radio. CBS now informs us they intend to move that program in approximately 8 minutes, and we will carry it for you here live on WCCO. We then expect to have the news at 8 and our regular regional news report, which we ordinarily feature just before 8 o'clock, we will bring you immediately following CBS News at 8 o'clock. From our WCCO Radio News Bureau and datelined Nashville, Tennessee, the FBI says the man implicated in today's shootings in Washington was arrested in Nashville last October while then-President Jimmy Carter was in town, and the FBI says that John Hinckley was carrying 3 handguns at the time of his arrest in Nashville. Former President Carter was conducting a town hall-style meeting at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville on October 9th, and the 25-year-old Hinckley reportedly was arrested by Metropolitan Airport Police for carrying handguns on that day. Information on the arrest reportedly is being sent to Washington. And in another development, federal agents in Dallas reportedly have seized records of a gun purchased by Hinckley 4 days after the Nashville arrest. President Reagan was wounded today with a .22 caliber. Hinckley reportedly bought 2 identical .22 caliber revolvers in Dallas at a pawn shop last October. Federal agents seized the records from the pawn shop about 2 hours after today's shooting. District of Columbia police say that Hinckley is being charged with a federal charge of attempted assassination of a president and assault with intent to kill a District of Columbia police officer. 21 minutes before 8 o'clock, and if you've just joined us, you're wondering about the weather. It'll be cloudy tonight in the Twin Cities with a slight chance of showers developing toward morning. The low overnight in the metro area, about 40 degrees. Cloudy on Tuesday with a good chance of showers and occasional thunderstorms. It'll be cloudy and windy Tuesday night, again with a chance of showers. Lows tomorrow night in the mid to the upper 30s. And then mostly cloudy and windy and cooler on Wednesday with highs in the lower 50s. Chance of rain late tonight, 20%, then building to 50% Tuesday and 40% Tuesday night. Currently, we have cloudy skies and a temperature of 46 degrees. 20 minutes before 8 o'clock, the baseball preview show from CBS just 5 minutes away. Thank you. 17 minutes before 8 o'clock on WCCO Radio, and the temperature a cloudy 46 degrees. The late word from Washington, President Reagan is now out of surgery, his condition good, prognosis for his recovery is excellent. It just may be that President Reagan today brushed up against and perhaps may have beaten that jinx that I'd like to recall with you just now for a moment. It's a grim jinx. That jinx that says that presidents elected every 20 years die in office. It's been one that's true since 1840. You may remember that in 1960, John F. Kennedy died in office, assassinated. In 1940, Franklin Roosevelt was elected. He died in office 5 years later, just starting out his fourth term. You can go back to 1920, 1900, 1880, 1860, the victim of the jinx that time, Abraham Lincoln. Let us pray that President Reagan today has beaten that jinx and has put it itself away for all time. It's something to be devoutly hoped. We are expecting to go to CBS. Would that be in about 30 seconds, do you figure, Don? All right, I'm getting that word from our control room. We have a wind from the southwest at 5 miles an hour, a relative humidity of 70%, the barometer rising from 29.68, cloudy skies, and a temperature of 46 degrees. We're about to hear a baseball preview program from CBS, and remember, any updates, you'll hear them immediately here on WCCO Radio 830. Clear Channel Radio, where you hear history as it happens. CBS News. The outlook for President Reagan is said to be excellent following his emergency surgery this afternoon. He's said to be in stable and good condition, and one official says Mr. Reagan sailed through the surgery, which lasted about 2 hours and 45 minutes. He was shot and wounded today in Washington in an assassination attempt that seriously wounded White House News Secretary James Brady and two others. This is John Bohannon reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Vice President Bush returned to Washington this evening from a speaking engagement in Texas. The vice president spoke to reporters a short time ago to reassure everyone that the United States government is still intact, with President Reagan still able to function as commander-in-chief.
I can reassure this nation and a watching world that the American government is functioning fully and effectively. We've had full and complete communications throughout the day, and the officers of the federal government have been fulfilling their obligations with skill and with care.
Vice President Bush says he's encouraged by optimistic reports from George Washington University Hospital that President Reagan's condition is excellent. White House News Secretary James Brady is described as in critical condition. He's still in surgery at this hour. Doctors say it's likely that Brady has brain damage. He was shot in the head near the forehead. The bullet reportedly went completely through his head and damaged his brain. More in a minute. Late reports tonight from George Washington University Hospital are that President Reagan's condition is excellent, and we have the latest on that from Nelson Benton.
President Reagan is reported in good condition and alert tonight after spending about 2 hours on the operating table as surgeons removed a would-be assassin's bullet from his left lung. Dr. Dennis O'Leary, Dean for Clinical Affairs at George Washington University Hospital, said that at no time was the president in any danger during surgery. Speaking at a briefing for reporters, O'Leary gave these details.
He was in the operating room for approximately 2 hours. It was a single bullet wound that entered slightly underneath the left armpit. It traversed about 3 inches of the chest wall and then ricocheted off the seventh rib into the left lower lobe of the lung. The operative incision is about 6 inches in width. The bullet was removed and then the incision was closed. And as I say, he is stable and in good condition. The prognosis is excellent.
Presidential Press Secretary James Brady, who suffered a severe bullet wound in the head in the assassination attempt, was still in surgery at last report. His condition critical. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Washington.
A Secret Service agent and a Washington, D.C. policeman were also hit by the bullets, and they were seriously wounded. The Secret Service agent is Timothy McCarthy. The police officer is Thomas Delahanty. The Secret Service agent is said to be in serious condition, and the policeman is critical. And now, this message. 25-year-old John Hinckley, who's accused of shooting President Reagan this afternoon, is described as a college dropout. His home is in Evergreen, Colorado, a suburb of Denver. Police say Hinckley has no criminal record and there's no indication of any mental problems. Hinckley's father is the chairman of the Vanderbilt Energy Corporation, an oil exploration firm. Hinckley is being held by the FBI. A spokesman says he may be arraigned tomorrow. Repeating, doctors say the outlook for President Reagan is excellent. He's in stable and good condition after emergency surgery. Doctors removed a bullet from his chest after an assassination attempt this afternoon in Washington. John Bohannon, CBS News. And now, CCOland News. This is Bill Deal reporting at 6 minutes past 8 o'clock. Reaction to the assassination attempt on President Ronald Reagan today is coming in from Minnesota officials. The Independent Republican Party of Minnesota sent a telegram to the president expressing, quote, deepest concern and shock, end quote. Minnesota Congressman Tom Hagedorn said the attempt will undoubtedly mean a tightening up of security. Hagedorn said when the president stops to respond to president's questions, it leaves him more vulnerable. Governor Al Quie said he was deeply shocked, and the incident brought back memories of other assassinations and assassination attempts. The Minnesota Senate today gave preliminary approval to a bill which would allow charity groups competing with the United Way to conduct fund drives among state employees. Under current law, only United Way may obtain donations from state employees through payroll deductions. The only lead to the possible identity of a skeleton found in Minnesota's Rock County earlier this month has dried up. Authorities say identification for a Thomas E. Bell found in a wallet near the remains has been traced to a man who is alive and well in Omaha, Nebraska. Bell says he lost the wallet 6 or 7 years ago while riding in a taxi. The Minnesota Public Interest Research Group today asked Minnesota colleges and corporations to freeze $2.5 million in scholarships based on test scores. MPIRG said a study documented 10 errors in scoring on college entrance tests. And the outlook or the weather for the Twin Cities, cloudy tonight with a slight chance of showers developing toward morning, the low overnight about 40, and then cloudy on Tuesday with a good chance of showers and occasional thunderstorms and a high the coming day of about 60 degrees. Cloudy and windy tomorrow night, again with a chance of showers and lows in the mid to the upper 30s. Mostly cloudy and windy and cooler on Wednesday with a high in the lower 50s. That chance of rain is put at 20% late tonight, 50% chance on Tuesday, and a 40% chance Tuesday night. The new readings are in for the metro area, the barometer rising from 29.70. The winds are from the southwest at 3 miles an hour. Relative humidity is 73%. We have a cloudy sky and a Twin Cities area temperature of 46, 46 degrees.
This is a CBS News special report. I'm Doug Poling in New York with the latest developments in the attempt on the life of President Reagan. The president is listed in stable and good condition tonight in George Washington University Hospital, where doctors earlier removed a bullet from his left lung. The president underwent surgery following an assassination attempt this afternoon outside the Washington Hilton Hotel. A lone gunman wounded the president, his press secretary, James Brady, a Secret Service agent, and a Washington policeman. Mr. Reagan was rushed to the hospital, where he was in surgery for about 3 hours. When the operation ended, Dr. Dennis O'Leary, dean for clinical affairs at the hospital, made this announcement.
The president is in the recovery room. He is in stable condition, and he is awake. He was in no time in any serious danger. He was alert and awake with stable vital signs up until the time he underwent anesthesia. He was in the operating room for approximately 2 hours. Part of that time was spent ascertaining that he did not have any blood in his abdominal cavity. Indeed, he did not. It was a single bullet wound that entered slightly underneath the left armpit. It traversed about 3 inches of the chest wall and then ricocheted off the seventh rib into the left lower lobe of the lung and moved about 3 inches into the lung substance itself. The operative incision is about 6 inches in width, relatively simple procedure. The bullet was removed, and then the incision was closed. And as I say, he is stable and in good condition.
Dr. O'Leary also said that White House News Secretary James Brady, perhaps the most badly wounded, was still in surgery.
Mr. Brady was shot in the side of the forehead. The bullet did pass through his brain and came out the other side. He obviously has significant brain injury, and he is in critical condition, but I'm sorry we have no further information at this time.
O'Leary also said that Secret Service agent Timothy McCarthy was in excellent condition, although he did say that McCarthy suffered a bullet wound in the liver. It's also been announced that Washington, D.C. policeman Thomas Delahanty is in serious but stable condition. No surgery is contemplated. He's at the Washington Hospital Center. All four men were shot just as President Reagan left the Washington Hilton, where he'd given a speech to the AFL-CIO Building and Construction Trades about his economic program and his budget cuts. As he exited the hotel and made for his limousine, a young man emerged from the crowd and opened fire with a .22 caliber pistol. He was immediately wrestled to the ground and taken into custody and is being held tonight at an undisclosed location in the Washington area. The assailant has been identified as John Hinckley, age 25, whose family lives in Evergreen, Colorado. He's charged with attempting to assassinate the president, a charge that carries a life sentence upon conviction. We've now been told by the FBI that Hinckley was arrested in Nashville, Tennessee last October while President Carter was in town and was carrying three handguns at the time. William Brissy, captain of the Nashville, Tennessee Airport Security Police, said Hinckley was arrested there October 9th for trying to board an airliner with three handguns and 50 rounds of ammunition in a suitcase. President Carter was in Nashville that same day. And in a brief statement tonight, Hinckley's family said the young man was recently under psychiatric care. The statement said the evaluation did not alert us to the seriousness of his condition. In his speech just before he was shot today, President Reagan talked about his economic program, but ironically, he also made a reference to the problem of violent crime in America.
Government's first duty is to protect the people, not run their lives. What have been some of the results of this straying from basic principles? Well, for one, violent crime has surged 10%, making neighborhood streets unsafe and families fearful in their homes.
Vice President George Bush was in Texas at the time the president was shot. He cut that trip short and flew back to Washington. He spoke to reporters at the White House briefing room shortly after surgery on the president was completed.
I am deeply heartened by Dr. O'Leary's report on the president's condition. That he has emerged from this experience with flying colors and with the most optimistic prospects for a complete recovery. I can reassure this nation and a watching world that the American government is functioning fully and effectively. We've had full and complete communications throughout the day, and the officers of the federal government have been fulfilling their obligations with skill and with care.
The vice president plans to perform some of the duties that Mr. Reagan would have performed. Tomorrow, Bush will meet with the cabinet and with congressional leaders. And we're also told he's to attend a luncheon for the visiting prime minister of the Netherlands. But the White House has emphasized that Bush is not the acting president, that Mr. Reagan is still commander-in-chief, that there's been no cause for control or authority of the government to be turned over to the vice president. Among those commenting on the shooting of the president were two former chief executives. Former President Richard Nixon in New York tonight said he and Mrs. Nixon were praying for Mr. Reagan. Tonight, CBS News correspondent Douglas Edwards spoke by telephone with former President Gerald Ford, who's on a business trip in Tokyo.
Mr. President, there were two attempts on your life, both of them in California in September of 1975. And you said after that second effort to end your life that American leaders cannot cower in the face of a limited number of people who want to take the law into their own hands. Do you still feel that way after what's happened to President Reagan today?
Doug, I think I feel the same way. It is totally incomprehensible that 226 million people ought to be in effect, browbeaten by a few kooks. I personally resented the fact that, in my case, two people seeking to take the law into their own hands were depriving me as president and the public in the United States from having the kind of contact that I think is good for our country. After the attempts on my life, I had mixed reactions to the need for a tighter gun control, and I'm sure that in the weeks and months ahead, there will be a reevaluation of what can be done in this direction to preclude individuals from easily obtaining handguns. It's a little early to speculate just in what direction that will move, although I'm certain there will be a greater demand on the part of responsible people for some tighter control.
Former President Gerald Ford, who spoke this evening by telephone with CBS News correspondent Douglas Edwards here in New York. Mr. Ford is in Tokyo. To recap, President Reagan is in stable and good condition after surgery for removal of a bullet. This afternoon's assassination attempt, a bullet from Mr. Reagan's left lung, doctors say the president should make a complete recovery. White House News Secretary James Brady, also wounded in the attack, is in critical condition with a bullet in the brain. A Secret Service man and a Washington policeman were also shot and wounded. In custody and charged in the shooting is 25-year-old John Hinckley, whose family lives in Evergreen, Colorado. I'm Doug Poling in New York, and this has been a special report from CBS News.